what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but there's a time to laugh, and it might as well be now. Yeah, that's right. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. After reviewing the media, true believers know Jesus is coming back very soon. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because everything we do is hopefully a blessing, at least most of it, or some of it anyway. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's a good one. Who was the last person that God used to bless you? Did you tell that person after you thanked God that you appreciated that person? Ooh. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be sad. Just reach out to us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite!
Yeah, just think of this. Talking to Dynamite D is like finding an extra $20 in your wallet.
Dave, that's always a beautiful thing.
Is that not the great? What? I did. What? We're okay.
I needed that.
Yeah, tacos it is. All right, so here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can reach out just now. You might be in San Diego. It's 11:34 and 39 seconds right there in San Diego. Right here in Dallas. It's 1:34 at 44 seconds right here in Dallas. You can call us. It's not going to hurt anybody. Nothing weird's going to happen that we know of. It's September 13th. Get on board. Maybe you want to answer trivia. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got a praise report. Get on board. Get on board the Jesus train. That's the train everybody should be on, by the way. I just want to point that out to you. If you want to call, call us, 972-445-0770 for a prayer request, praise report along those lines. You can also, by the way, text us live during the show. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Not really a professional voice coming up right now.
214-210-8483.
There you go.
That was a pretty good one, Dave. I think that was professional.
That's not bad. That's not bad. You can email us, too. David at hemustincrease.org. David, just my name, just David, at the A with the goofy circle around it. hemustincrease.org. That would be the email. Also, we're going to send you up to the website. We love doing that. Tons of stuff on the website. Well, there's even a way for you to get a free trip around the world. No, there's not. But there's really cool stuff on the website, like encouraging and an uplifting video, audio. There's access to all of the podcast hours, which is about 4,500 hours, which covers a couple topics here or there. Additionally, you have an opportunity to put in there a praise report or a prayer request. If you don't want to do it directly through the show live, we'll do it for you. We'll read it for you if we give us a permission. Additionally, again, there's a place to partner. Now, why is that important? Because I hate asking for money. And people are like, yeah, but you ask for money every show. That's because I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord. If it was my preference, I'd have $1 billion, pay for everything, and never say anything to anybody and just do it. But that's not what the Lord has set up. And it also robs other people of their opportunity to be blessed by the Lord for giving. So I got to stop that.
And Dave, and that was something you had got hurt on that, right, Dave? That kind of shot you away from that. I think that's an important part too, Dave.
Yeah, I used to be involved in certain elements and raising funds, and it didn't work out well. And so I just really hate it. But I am doing it because God said, do it, and I'm not asking you again. And I don't want to walk funny. I already walk funny a little because of my one leg surgery, so I'd prefer to keep it there. If you have the opportunity to give, do so. If you can't, don't worry about it. But here's our scripture for today, Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you give, you get a receipt at the end of the year for your tax deduction, your 100% tax deduction for your donation, because we are a nonprofit organization, and we will not give you anything else, not even a donut. That's the way it works. Besides, you should be able to get a donut at church, I think. Check it all out at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka.
Yeah, the real sad part about that is anybody who knows that song, you're just dating yourself. I'm just saying. You're just like, which I know that song. Dynamite D's like,
no clue.
What is that? What is that? What do you guys do? What's wrong with you people? Nah, everything. All right, let's get right into the text. This is so phenomenal. I've prayed for quite a bit of time not to mess it up. How about that? Psalm 40, verse 6. Now, if you're in your Bibles or reading your Bibles or you're just listening while you're driving along or you're somewhere, and if you've got your Bible and you can look at it, great. Don't do it if you're driving. I mean, don't like praying with your eyes closed while you're driving. Don't do that.
Driving by faith.
Yeah, don't do that. Okay. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we're going to start at Psalm chapter 40, Psalm 40, I should say, verse 6, and it says this: sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. It sounds great, but most people have not a clue as to what it is I just read. So it's like, sounds great. What does that mean? So I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to go into a pretty deep explanation, and it is absolutely lights out cool. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. It's awesome, of course, that this makes a reference to Jesus Christ, but let's go through what the application is here. There's many hidden gems in Psalm 40, a ton of them. For example, it's truly overwhelming. David says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Just stop. What does that mean? What do you mean? What does that mean, my ears you have opened? This means that although the law had a prescription for dealing with certain things, what God was looking for was more than the sacrifices that the person could offer for themselves. God was looking for the person. In other words, you can always respond by doing the law in order to honor God, but the purpose of the law was to draw people to a knowledge about Jesus Christ and to help them understand that they needed more than God more than ever. So David recognizes this as, you know what? I have my ears open. I've done the law stuff, but you know what? I've got that next level going here. My ears are open. And so sacrifice is an offering you do not desire. My ears you have opened. It's the next step. What's past obeying the law? Being in a relationship with God And that's what David's saying. He's saying, my ears are open. Talk to me. Speak to me. Here I am. We know from the New Testament this psalm's involved in the fulfillment of ministry of Jesus Christ, which is further proof that prophecies never fail. But I want you to examine how it applied to David directly when he realized the burnt offerings and the sin offerings were only one level of the relationship with God. He presented himself by saying, I come. Here I am. I'm offering myself to do that which you desire, to do your will. This is the same spirit that God wants in you and me, to be more committed to our response to him than we are committed to the letter of the law. This is what that says. David is like, my ears are open. I'm here to do what you want. It's not that he's trying to walk around the law. I think you need to understand what he's saying. What he's saying is, I know what's going on here. Here's a prescription for my life and for things I need to do, and I need to follow and be obedient. But Lord, I want to take it to the next step. I don't want level one in my relationship with you. I want to hear what you have to say. And you know what, Lord? I'm going to do this sacrifice and all this stuff, but you know what? I want to know exactly what you want me to do every day. See, that's the relationship part. See, the cool thing, if you get this, and we talked about this yesterday, is Jesus, the redemption of Jesus Christ, the second end, was restoring the fellowship with God. What God wants from you is your ear. What God wants from you is your willingness to do his will. Yes, the law helps you enter into that, but Jesus Christ helps you live in that. Do you understand that difference? The law helps you step one. Jesus helps you step 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And through Jesus Christ, through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, you turn unto the Lord, because you already know there's three levels to the law. There's a moral law, a civil law, and a ceremonial law. Jesus already covered the ceremonial law. That was the sacrifice. Moral law are laws that are, you know, thou shalt not murder. It's like this pretty straightforward. Civil law are laws of behaving with one another. Okay? Well, the ceremonial law is done. Jesus is the sacrifice for that. And now what he's saying is, you look at this psalm. This, why it's amazing is that it's quoted in the New Testament. Is, look, I want your ear. I want you to wake up and go, yes, Lord. What do you want of me today? What is it that Samuel said? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's what God wants from us. He wants that communion, that connection, that relationship, that pushing past level one. It's not, and I want you to understand this, you look at the book of Galatians, there's not a lot of room there, okay? Paul is pretty adamant. The Holy Spirit's very declarative. It's like, look, this is all about the redeeming work of Christ. But the law was a stepping stone, right? A tutor to get in. Okay, you're there. You're in Jesus. Now you're going to take it to the next step. What's the next step? You're offering your life to God. You're the offering. Uh-oh! Is that offering you give going to save you? Nope, only the offering of Jesus Christ can save you. But that's what God wants, is all of you. Not bits and pieces. I still love Keith Green's song. If you can't come to me, listen, I want more than Sundays and Wednesday nights, because if you can't come to me every day, don't bother coming at all. See that? That's like, wow. That means like Christianity is not a religion. And a religion, by the way, even by definition, on all dictionaries, is a set of rules. And Christianity is a living relationship with the living God made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just think of that definition. Christianity is a living relationship with the living God made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's what our faith is. Now, look at that. It's like, oh, my goodness. I'm not worthy to talk about this psalm. That's just how I feel about it. Here's your first trivia question. How long did Solomon reign over Israel? I don't think we're talking about wet rain, which we're hoping to get and here in the Dallas area. Not sure about San Diego. Usually the weather is perfect and then perfect. But the bottom line is, how long did Solomon reign over Israel? Is it 15 years, 70 years, or 40 years? 15 years, 70 years, or 40 years? How long did Solomon reign over Israel? If you think you know the answer, you're welcome to call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Isn't that text amazing? I mean, it's not just like going, what?
It really was, Dave.
That's just like, to me, and I read stuff like that, and I think, I am so far from that. I do this, I do that. I mean, I go through it. It's like, there are times where I look at that, and I go, he got it. David just knew. When he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that should tell you everything. Yeah, the Lord's my shepherd. Nah, I don't need that. It's like, wow. It's so good. Listen, just listen to that. I'll do the trivia question again. But listen, Dave's like going, all right, I've done this, and I've done this already. I've done this in the law. I've done this. You know what? Here's my ear. Take care. Well, talk to me. Here's my life. Here, let your will be done. And what, you know what's amazing about that? What did Jesus do? He gave me fulfilled law, and he took it to the next level.
I think, David, it just shows you that, you know, amongst David's up and down, he was in the presence of God, you know.
He loved the Lord, man.
Can hear it when you read it.
It drips off that guy's word. It's like, this is like, oh, that's pretty good, dude. Yeah. You know, it's just the whole thing that people that really love the Lord. Okay, one more in the trivia and then back to it, because guess what? There's more. That's so amazing. The trivia question. What is the trivia question? Oh, yeah. How long did Solomon reign over Israel? Was it 15 years, 70 years, or 40 years? Don't be shy. Whether you're in Dallas or in San Diego, reach out to us. Our number, 972-445-0770, if you want to call. If you feel safe for texting, do that. 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.com. .org. How long did Solomon reign over Israel? 15 years, 70 years, or 40 years? Okay, now back to the text, which I'm already dripping with happiness because this is just, come on. Again, I'm just going to do that definition again. Deb liked that definition. Listen to this definition. Christianity is a living relationship with the living God made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's what your faith is. That's what it's all about. So now we just covered these couple of verses, and then guess what? I just love that. I love the Psalms. You just go nutsy cuckoo over it. So he goes this in verse 9. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, for you yourself know. And so here David is saying, and I just want you to catch this, David is saying, you know, where everybody gathers, I don't restrain, I'm not pulling it back now. I'm proclaiming the good news. I'm not restraining my lips. So I want to make a point that's important that I think a lot of people miss because of today's society. We take things and we put it like in a modern spin on it. So I kind of want to go back to the earlier church and what the mentality was. The psalmist mentions, and David mentions, that he's proclaiming that there's good news of righteousness, and he's doing it in the great assembly. And I've talked to you about this before, and it doesn't get a lot of attention, and I got a lot of fiery response when I did this. But the real early church evangelists were not people who held tent meetings to attract unbelievers with just a few believers scattered amongst them, which is kind of the mindset now. So when they do an evangelistic meeting, you have churches that come behind it, and they invite as many unbelievers as possible. And it's like that's the mindset of the modern evangelist. That's great, but that is not the history of the church. That is not how the evangelists were in the early church. The early church evangelists spoke directly to the church and the church members Why would they do that? Aren't they there just for saving souls? They're there for keeping souls as well as saving souls. And it's the gospel that Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3, the gospel saves you and keeps you. So they would preach the gospel to the faithful so the faithful would remember. The early church evangelists spoke directly to the church, reminding them the power of the good news. People that were not saved would also come and then get saved. So what we've done is we've reversed it and made all the people that come unsaved. It's like, that's not how that went. They would preach. There'd be the church members. They would reinforce the gospel. Why do you think there's four gospels? People are like, well, it's this, that, whatever. It's because we need to hear things 1, 2, 3, 4 times and 50,000 more. Because we forget. It's not even age. We're just so occupied with so many things and distracted by so many things. Martha, Martha. You are distracted by so many things. Only one thing is needful. Oh, okay. All right, so now let's look at the rest of this. He says this. He says, I've not hidden, verse 10, I've not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I've declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. I've told everybody. So here's the big portion of this that you want to get into and the context of this is David's discourse is he's making sure that everybody knows he's not hidden or concealed anything, but has proclaimed the great things that God has done for him. Testifying is an important part of our walk in the Lord. And I already know what people are thinking. I don't want to testify. I don't want to share. We need to tell what God has done in our lives, and it doesn't always come out perfectly. Have you noticed that? I've shared my testimony numerous times. I'm amazed how from time to time it sounds dumber than other times. I'm just amazed by it. Never seems to matter to the Lord. Because he can take that which we have. I mean, it always doesn't always sound sweet and simple, but it just doesn't matter. Because, see, God is the one who did it in your life. He's done this testimony. And he'll back it up. You don't have to back it up. If he did something in your life, share it. Don't worry about how you share it. If the Lord is in charge and he's behind it, you can say 1, 2, 3, 4 words. It wouldn't even matter. I just want to remind you about Acts. When Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, to Cornelius and all those people. And so Peter's going into this sermon and he's getting into it. Like, you know, people like me start teaching, start getting into it. You get into it. And while the Bible says while he was speaking, which means he didn't do an altar call. He didn't do anything. He just was speaking in the middle of them speaking. God just drops the Holy Spirit on all of them. They're all blasting out and speaking in tongues left and right. It's like, what happened? God said, yeah, I'm here. But Dave, that's not a pattern. You bet. Exactly. That's not a pattern. You're right. But it's God. And that's what's great. It's like we can find a few things and some formulas. I did back off on that statement. Some formulas are okay. You know, it's not that bad. But we can't condense everything to a formula, a pattern. You know, it's not a perfect, there is no perfect systematic theology. That's hilarious because mankind is not perfect. So how can they perfectly assess what it is that God does? But the point of this is to understand that your testimony is powerful even without your ability to speak well. Just sharing it matters. Then God will take care of it. You know, it's amazing. I know that most people think, well, you know, it can't happen unless people do it. Want to bet? See, that's just wrong, right? I mean, as far as we know, you just look at Luke chapter 1. There was this baby that was in the womb that was filled with the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? I don't know. Yeah, it's God. That's what you do. So now you look at this psalm and look at this whole thing, and you see David, he's this whole premise here. He's like, okay, look, I'm trying to do the right things, but And I'm trying to do well, but I recognize there's a deeper level here. So I'm opening my ear. Talk to me. I want to hear you. I've tried to do the things that are required here, but I can tell they're falling short. Here I am. I offer myself as an offering, not for salvation, but for honor, because I want to love you and express that love to you and express that in the things that I do and how I present myself to you. And I'm going to tell people, Lord. I'm going to share, I'm going to tell people about the goodness of God.
I'm going to share because it's such a part of me, and these people are in my life, and I want them to know what happened. I've mentioned this before, and I'm just, we only got a minute left, and then we have to exit, but I've mentioned this before, but I do want to make sure you understand. I told my mom one testimony about one thing in the ministry and the stuff that I've done in life. I never thought she'd even pay any attention to it. It was the one thing that hooked her mind into thinking. So, wow. We only got about 30 seconds, so can we do the call or not? Yep, okay, send him on through. Knock, knock, this is David. You got about 20 seconds. Quick question. How long did Solomon reign over Israel?
Hey, Brother David, it was, I think, 40 years was a good time.
It was 15, 40, or 70. Which one of those three?
40.
That is correct, sir! Brother Ace! Gets it in the deli. You did it, brother. You got it in within the time frame. Very good, brother.
See you later, buddy. God
all right.
bless you.
God bless you. You too. Bye-bye. All right. Those in San Diego, you can listen through HeMustIncrease.org. In Dallas, hang on. We love you guys. We'll be right back. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned, which is, you know, it's, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me, and I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, arr, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's our, you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us before Jesus Christ was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, smart, not smart, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, so the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free, I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.